So today the title of my message is Doubt and Unbelief. How many of you ever doubted anything? How many of you believe everything you see on the internet? I got one. Yeah. So today we're going to read out of John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. So if you stand with me, please. John chapter 20, 24 through 29. Seeing and believing. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand in here, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Then Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today in this time in your word, I pray that, Lord, that we would all leave here believing in Jesus. We would all leave here knowing you. And, Lord, that we would have a confidence of who you are in us. And, Lord, that your word would come alive to each one of us today. We thank you for this wonderful time in your presence, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever seen Sasquatch? Huh? I mean, I saw one of the NFL football players does training with him now. Have you seen that commercial? He does a Sasquatch training, and Sasquatch is giving him a workout, you know? How many of you believe in Sasquatch? Nobody? How about UFOs? How many of you have seen UFOs, you know, Area 51 and all that? There's got to be some UFOs around there. How many of you believe in UFOs? I got a couple of biters, all right. Aliens. How many of you believe in aliens? How many of you seen an alien? Is there anybody here that's seen an alien? Is there anybody here that has seen a UFO? Is there anybody here that, oh, you've seen a UFO, okay. Is there anybody here that's seen a Sasquatch? So these are things that are talked about in our society, things that come up before us, but we don't believe. Why? Because we haven't seen them. They haven't let us into Area 51 to know what's in there, to the things that they've had before. And we're talking about a guy today, Thomas, who said, "I'm not going to believe it unless I can not only see it with my own eyes, but touch it with my own hands." He just doubted so much. You know, when we lived in another country, Delonda and I, Kenneth Copeland came. And he went into hiding with us for 3 days and taught house church pastors for 3 days. Me being the English, the American, English-speaking guy, they put me on the front row right in front of him. And that guy, he talked almost the whole time with his hand on my shoulder. He used me for every example he could. He slapped me on the cheek a number of times, you know. And Delonda and I, we were just so blessed. His teaching was incredible. And we were so encouraged by being with him and Gloria Copeland for those 3 days. And I don't care what you think about them. I'm telling you, they were so anointed. They were so powerful, man. These house church pastors' lives were being transformed. And so when they were done the last day, and he did it like I do. I wait till the last day to pray for everybody. And they brought Delon and I up there, and he ministered to us. He was praying for us, and he stopped and he looked at us and he said, "Do you guys want kids?" You know, and I think we were probably, you know, like 43, 44 at that time. I know it's been that long. And we were 46. And I said, Delon is like, "No." And Delonda goes, but you know, my daughter's getting ready to have a baby. And he goes, that's it. He says, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. And we walked out of there going, we weren't worried. You know, but now we got some questions, you know. And so when Tobias was going to be born, our second grandson, Delonda, the same day he was to be born, Delonda got on a plane to come home to America to be there. And I'm in China for another week. And while I'm sitting there in China, I get a... Cardi was going in to have the baby a C-section. So when she had the C-section, you know, there was... I think they took the... They didn't let the baby cook long enough. You know, I think they took him out a little too early because he wasn't fully developed. His lungs weren't there. He needed a blood transfusion. And so right away, they took when they took him out of the mother's womb, out of Carly, she didn't even get to hold him. They rushed him off to, she was in Riverside Kaiser, they rushed him off to Fontana Kaiser right away. She never got to hold him. So she calls me, and I'm sitting in an apartment alone in China, and she calls me, her and Greg, and they're crying. And they start telling me all the issues that the baby has, Tobias has. And I'm sitting there, and I'm crying. I felt so hopeless. Because I couldn't fix it. I wasn't at home to even bring that comfort, you know. And I'm crying on the phone with him. And I'm tore up, man. And I hung up the phone and I sat there and I started praying. And the Lord said, listen, I sent a man all the way from America to come to you to tell you everything was going to be okay. And I went, oh, yeah. And I got back on the phone and I called Greg and Carly. I said, hey, listen. I said, remember, Kenneth Copeland came all the way to this country to tell me that it was going to be okay. So you don't have to worry. It's okay. And they're like, yeah, it is okay. It's great, you know. And Greg went out, and he got Martinelli's, he got strawberries, he got movies. And they're in the hotel room celebrating the birth of their son, you know, him and Carly. And he's still over in Fontana, and he was over in Fontana for a week, right? Yeah, 2 weeks, he was over there. And they're celebrating, and the doctor comes in and says, maybe you don't understand what's happening right now. Maybe you don't understand the condition of your son. And they told the doctor that God's got it and that they weren't worried. And they celebrated him. And today, Toby is very strong and he's tough as nails and he's thriving in life. Amen? Yes. I tell you this today because we all get come against by the things of this life. And we need to know where we are with God when these things come up. Because when you have that word of God in you, it brings such comfort. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance, everybody say substance, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, the definition of faith is conviction, confidences, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness. I mean, so it's not just, you know, well, I have faith that Delonda's going to be here today. No, it's a confidence that he's going to. I trust in the Lord. I believe the Lord, what he says. It's in my heart, so I'm not moved by life because I believe. Amen? I'm just so set in my faith in who he is that when life happens, I'm not worried. And then it says hope. Hope is the evidence, see, substance of things hoped for. Hope is this. Hope is a confident expectation of God's promise, provision, and his character. See, so what I see happening today, even in this life, is that people have faith, but the enemy's going after your hope. He's trying to rob you of your hope. He's trying to take away that confidence you have in God. Not that you don't trust God, not you don't believe in God, but the enemy's trying to take away your hope in the sense that you feel hopeless, like, the situation is hopeless, that the enemy's trying to steal your hope in the Lord. He's not even worried about your faith. But I think if he thinks you can get your hope, and remember this, hope is not a wish. Hope is a confidence. And have I prayed for people and they died? Oh, yeah. But it's never stopped me from praying. I can remember one lady here that had cancer so bad, and she was in the hospital here. And I, you know, everybody was praying prayers of, oh, Lord, receive her. I just can't pray that way. I can't pray that way. I pray with confidence. Lord, heal her. Lord, burn up them tumors. We curse the cancer. And then I have to pray with a confidence. No matter what happens, I'm praying with a confidence. Because it's not up to me, man. I'm to do all my part I can to see God move, to give God an opportunity to move. My confidence is in him, not in the situation. So if they go be Jesus, I don't believe that that's the divine healing. I believe that it's a robbing many times that the enemy is doing. Because it's allotted to a person to live for 70 years at least. I'll tell you, my dad was in Corona Community one day, and his blood pressure was 70 over 20. They said, we can't help him. They said, we can't move unless a miracle happens. So I looked at my mom and said, what do you want to do? He was 69 and a half. I said, what do you want to do? She says, he wants to live. Laid hands on his chest, and I prayed. I said, Father, he is allotted. It's allotted to a man for 70 years. Give it to him. 15 minutes later, his blood pressure was 120 over 70. He came out of that, committed his life to Jesus. At 69 and a half. I went in, I said, listen here, Pops. You were dead, and the Lord saved you. Now you need to commit your life to him. He said, okay. And he did. But when things don't go the way that we believe that they should, we get rocked. But I want to walk in his peace no matter what, amen? No matter what's going on. Thomas didn't believe because his natural man couldn't perceive the resurrection. When the natural man is up and speaking, the supernatural gets squashed down. And many times we talk out of our natural man. We speak what the natural man thinks, what the natural man believes, and I believe that God wants us to change our thinking process, our speaking process. And number one today, I believe that God would have us to stand with the Word of God. Stand with the written Word of God. To get this in us and to stand on the side of this. Last Sunday I said, don't doubt God, but doubt your doubts. Doubt what you're doubting. With the doubts that you come in, doubt those. But don't ever doubt God, amen? Don't doubt what the Word of God says. Let it come alive inside of you. Be in agreement with the Word. Thomas spent 3 years with Jesus, at least. He heard it from Jesus, that he would die and that he would be raised from the dead 3 days later. He had heard it. He'd been in those meetings. He had talked with Jesus. He knew that Jesus said, hey, this is what's going to happen. They're going to destroy this temple, but in 3 days it'll be rebuilt up. I won't believe it unless I can see it. That's a lot of how we approach things in life. Well, I don't believe it till I see it. You know. We do that with giving. I know, man, there's been times Lana says, let's give this and give that. And I'm like, we don't have that to give. And she's like, come on, let's just give it anyways. And I've joined with her, and I'm sowing. This is not a joke. I'm dead serious. Every time I've sown into another ministry this year, God has multiplied it back to me 10 times that amount. Every time this year. It's amazing. And we take all that and we put it into missions. God is just multiplying the seed sown. And I just believe it makes me want to give more. It makes me want to do more. But you got to remember, Adam and Eve, they walked with God. Amen. As we said last Sunday. And doubt crept in on them. Then they fell away from God. Now Thomas was speaking out of the natural thinking, not out of the words that he was taught by Jesus himself. We don't have to try and remember what Jesus said. He gave it to us in book form that we could actually read it, amen. We could dust it off at home, get it out, and read everything in red, and you'll know everything Jesus said. If you're like me, I got the big print Bible, and it's great. But maybe you say, well, I don't know what to read. Well, you know, I just decided this week I'm going to help you. I went online, and I typed in, Jesus is my healer. And I got thousands of references to Scripture. I got this page right here, healing Bible verses. It took me 2 minutes. I just said, Jesus is my healer. I got all these scriptures, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's what the Word of God says to us about this. Hallelujah. He says in James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. You really need to remember that one, okay? To call us so we don't have to try and figure out what's going on. You know, hey, where is such and such? I haven't seen them in 2 weeks. Well, I've been in the hospital and you didn't come. I didn't know. Call us, amen. But there's so much at your fingertips. It's front and back, all these scriptures just on healing. I brought my cards with me today. These aren't the ones out of my war room at home. These are the ones I keep on my desk up here in my office. These are blessing scriptures. How many of you want to be blessed? So I speak blessing over myself. And I'm going to read you one. Just number one. Deuteronomy 28:8. The Lord, everybody say the Lord, will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Wow, that's too good to stop. Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Oh, can't stop there. Genesis 12:2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, be blessed. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will bless him. I will curse him who curses you, and in all you the families of the earth shall be blessed. By this I say, 2 Corinthians 9:6, by this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Mark 8:36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Philippians 3:14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Ron King presses towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Ezekiel 44:30, the best of all first fruits of my kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest. Also, you shall give to the priest the first fruit, first of your ground meal, to cause a blessing to rest on your house. See, there's so many scriptures that we can stand upon, that we can put our name into and receive that blessing. Can I hear an amen? But that just means that we got to take time and invest in the Word of God. We've got to get it in our hearts, in our minds, in our mouths, so that we're speaking the Word over our situation. We got to get out of the mode of saying, well, I can't pay this, or I don't have enough. It just seems like I never have enough. I believe that God wants to sew up the hole in your pocket today. That it stops seeing like money's just running through. But God wants to bless you, but he wants to bless you with an intention to be a blessing to him, amen? You know, I've got so much going on just internationally trying to figure out how to buy a building in Pakistan, build a church in Africa. You know, where am I going to get the money, Lord? I need the money. I need the money. And I just keep asking, and God keeps giving the money. So I believe by next year we're going to be building a church in Africa. We're going to be buying a building in Pakistan. I believe God wants us to do those things. Now, as a whole, we don't have the money. But he does, amen? And he's going to bring it to us. I believe that wholeheartedly. So why would God command his blessing on you? I read that at Deuteronomy 28. He's going to command the blessing on because we are his people. When we're his people and we're obedient to him, it brings a commanded blessing. But we also have an adversary, the devil, who will try to sow seeds of doubt into the mix so that you start doubting God's word. He wants us to doubt his word. Well, you know, I'm sure that works for other people, but it doesn't work for me. Really? Don't give up. Press. You want to say something? Yeah. You got a mic? Get a mic there, Shanice. I want you to tell me what you told me yesterday. It's not on. Want to come up here?
Well, I just said matter-of-factly because I was talking with a girlfriend on the phone, and she's been going through things and standing, and we've all been there standing, and man, the Holy Spirit just really just downloaded on me, and I went off, not on her, but matter-of-factly. You know, have you ever said anything just matter-of-fact? And I just started thinking, wow, God, you are the master creator. Just look at the animals, not to mention the human body, and how diverse and creative he is, and how he can do anything. I mean, anything. I watch nature channels. I mean, my gosh, just incredible animals. And then the Holy Spirit just started saying, why do we put him in such a little box? Why do we pray, Lord, give me, give me, give me, please, please, please. And then when he doesn't do it your way, our way, in our timing, in the way that we think he should have it done, well, that doesn't work, and I don't believe you, and now you've turned a cold shoulder to him, and forget you. I don't serve you. It doesn't work. Christianity. And boom. I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, do we really do that? Do we really do that? Do we really put him in our little box and take away the joy of our creator being creative of how to give to us and to bless us? It's his blessing. It's his privilege of being able. He's the gift giver. It's his privilege to give to us the way he sees fit. And you wouldn't want to give your child a bad gift in a bad timing where they would break it and abuse it and not be good for them. And neither does your Father in heaven.
Amen. Amen. So number one, stand upon the written word of God. Get it in you. Know it. Believe it. And then number two, stand with his spoken word. On Wednesday night, I'm teaching on prophecy right now. And this last week, we took time to minister to each other. And it was incredible because so many lives were touched on. Margaret, your life was so touched Wednesday night. It was such a beautiful moment. The word that was given to you was just so powerful and fitting for your moment. There was one lady that was sitting back there where you are, Val, and she was sobbing so hard. I'm like, obviously something's affecting you right now. What's going on? And the word that she received was just so encouraging to just break off the lies of the enemy. To break off the things that the enemy had been telling her about herself, and it was just such an encouraging thing. And so we need to learn to receive and stand upon the spoken word, just like I talked about with Greg and Carly. That spoken word I received, man, it just come alive to me. And our sister Maria Jefferson had surgery this week, and after the but before she went into surgery, we had a guest speaker, and he prophesied to her that she was going to be healed. It was going to be a witness to her family, and God was going to do amazing things. So when she came out of surgery, and they said, well, there's this and this and this, and everybody just got kind of overwhelmed by the bad report that the doctors gave. And so Delana called me and said, hey, can you come back? And I came back, and I had my phone, and I had that prophetic word on my phone. And I played it for the whole family. I said, this is what God said. Stop crying. Stop being moved by what a doctor says. This is what God has said to Maria. This is what God is doing in Maria. So we don't have to worry about what the doctors are saying right now, because God is going to manifest himself in her, and she's going to be healed. And so now she wasn't even in the room when we did that, but when I went and seen her the next day, she said, hey, God told me he's healing me, so I'm good. And that's what we need. We need to come into agreement with that. But what do we want to do? Well, you know, it's just like when my mom, when she had the spot on her arm, and I prayed for it to fall off, and it fell off. I went, wow, praise God. But I said, hey, Mom, do you think maybe you ought to go to the doctor and get checked? She's like, no. She's like, I don't even know where the spot was. And I'm like, man, God, you are so good. You know, but our natural man, and even to me sometimes, my natural man, you know, it was my mama. It was like, maybe you should go. And she's like, no, I shouldn't. Yes, ma'am. The thing about Timothy, doubt crept in by the things that happened, by not holding on to the words that Jesus had spoken to him. Even when we go to the Lord in prayer, we pray over things, but we really don't believe it's going to happen because we can't see it happening. And I say that because, I mean, even the apostles and stuff, they did that. You got a couple apostles in prison. They're in prison, and then you got this whole group of the rest of the apostles, all these people at a home praying for the apostles to be released. They get out of prison. They come to the house. They pound on the door. A lady opens the door and says, oh my, and she shuts the door, and she runs back, and they say, who was it? And she says, it's the apostles we're praying for. And they said, no, it must be a ghost. And they went, and they opened the door, and there's the apostles standing there. They've gotten out of prison. How many times have we prayed for something and really didn't think God was going to do it? That we doubted that God was really going to do that. And I think, you know, that could be any one of us doubting at any time. But we know, I know this. Sometimes in prayer, people pray for sick people. If it's your will, God, heal them. Now, if any of my altar workers ever pray for you that way, come tell me. Come tell on them. Because I don't believe that's how we should pray. Because I believe that it's God's will to heal. Because of this. He sent his son Jesus to the cross to pay the price for all of our sins. Can I hear an amen? So that we can be forgiven of all of our sins. How many of you are forgiven of your sins today? Amen. But he also put all of our sickness on him to take it to the cross. Because it's God's will that we be forgiven and healed. Now, I know we live in a fallen world, and I know people die every day. But I'm still standing on the fact of the Word of God that Jesus' desire is to heal people. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be moved. I've seen too many people rise up. I've seen too many people get healed. I've seen dead limbs come back to life. I've seen those sent home to die come back to life. I've seen those that have deaf ears opened up. I've seen just so many miracles happen in people's lives that I can't doubt that God wants to do something great in his people. Now, granted, most of them are in third world countries. Why is that, Pastor? Well, good example. One day, man, I woke up and I hit my, back when I used to set an alarm clock, this is many years ago, probably 20 years ago since I set an alarm clock. I hit that thing and I coughed and I fell back on the bed because it was like, it sounded like I was a seal or something coughing. Delonda looked at me, she said, let's go to the hospital. Because that's the first thing we do. We go to the doctor. We're not seeking the Lord. I mean, when I go to these places in other countries, they have to pay before they can do anything. There's no freebies. Well, you got to pay this to go in, you know? And it's like, wow. And here, you know, if we don't have insurance, we go to the county. We do whatever we can, but we go to the doctor first. We don't take the time to seek the Lord about it. And we do need to seek the Lord, amen? Because I believe God wants to heal you. God wants to touch your body. We just have to believe the word in season. John 10:14 says, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. He knows us and we know him. There's an open line of communication between heaven and us now. because of Jesus. We can talk to God, amen? And he will talk to us. And when he speaks to us, we need to hold on to that word and believe that God has done it and is doing it and will accomplish it. And that takes me into number three, which is have right now faith. Have right now faith. I had to change my whole thing yesterday because Delana said, here, you need to read this in the book. I read the wrong pages in the book, and it was like, this is what it spoke to me. She's like, well, did you read the other one? I said, no, I haven't read that one yet, but this is speaking to me. In John chapter 11, verse 20, it says, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 22, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the day of resurrection, at the last day. See, there was when you study Jewish history, there was the belief that the soul hung around the body for at least 3 days. But that past 3 days, that was it. Even as Martha said, when they wanted to roll back the stone, and in the old King James Version, Martha said, but he stinketh. Now, Martha had two kinds of faith going on here. She said, if you had been here, which is faith for what was. And we all have that kind of faith to believe, you know, oh, if we would have done this or if this would have happened, you know, always looking back, believing for, you know, what was. Faith for what was. Martha had that kind of faith for what was. And then Jesus said, or Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She had faith for the future. She had the faith for what was, and she had the faith for the future. But we need faith for right now. Right now. It's easy to look back, and it's easy to believe the future to go to heaven. But what about right now? Do you believe in right now? Do you see God manifesting himself in your life to perform a miracle for you right now? Or do you see maybe in the future, maybe he could have back then, it's too late. Maybe what about right now that God wants to do something in your life, that God wants to bring a miracle? We're so quick when somebody passes away to say, well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I say amen to that. But what about right now, faith, that says Jesus died so that we could have life and have life more abundantly? Why can't we just tap into that, into the power of God that says, be made whole today in the name of Jesus? Let's not say, oh, God healed him by dying. I don't ever see Jesus doing that. He's never said, well, he's gone on to be with my Father. That's the ultimate healing. He never said that. He said, get up. Come forth. Walk. Here. Stretch out your hand. Open your eyes. Be healed. Be made whole. That's what Jesus did. But we've limited his power in the body of Christ. And I believe that God wants us as a body of Christ, if you attend this church or not, God wants you to have right now faith that you can believe God for miracles right now. You don't need them tomorrow. You need them today, amen? You don't need, you know, something for the future. You need now. And I know everybody here probably has a need today. Everybody probably came in. You've got something that you need God to do. But what about right now? Do you believe in what you don't see? Is the resurrection in the life for us today? Did Jesus pay the price for our sins? Did Jesus pay the price for our healing? And can he manifest it here today? Listen to number four. Blessed are those who believe that have not seen. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are those who believe that have not seen. You may not see it in your natural. You may be looking at your checkbook going, it's going to take a miracle. You may be looking at your things you get from the doctor. It's going to take a miracle. You may be looking at your relationships. It's going to take a miracle. But Jesus is the God of miracles. He is the one who does this. We weren't here when Jesus walked the earth, and we'll never see him until we get there unless he appears to us in a dream or a vision, or he manifests himself to us. I've heard that he's opening himself in dreams to thousands of Muslims a day right now. And many Muslims are coming to Jesus because he's showing up in their dreams right now. Can I hear a hallelujah? Oh, but I believe that today. I believe today for right now, faith, because he has touched my life. I was looking for him and I found him. I found him in the church, in this church, with his presence filling me, overwhelming. I found him when he spoke to me that day, when I was sitting in the pew and I started crying and he said, today is your day. I found him when the pastor stood up here and he said, somebody here, today is your day. Oh, I was so moved upon. I found him here at this altar, truly repenting for my sins. I found him as he forgave me of all my sins. I'm blessed to know him. I'm blessed to be free. I'm blessed to be saved from the pit of hell. Amen. I am blessed. Amen. I believe. For those of you that are married and you got some troubles, when we came to the Lord, we were one step away from divorce. And God turned it around in the day. In a moment. We both surrendered to Jesus. And maybe one of you isn't here today. Maybe one of you is not ready to. But you can do your part. And surrender to Jesus. Call out to God for a miracle. Have you had doubts in your life about God? Have you doubted him and what he can do? When we doubt God, I believe we doubt our very existence. God wants to engage with you. And God wants us to believe in him and to receive all that he has for us today. We need right now faith. We need faith to believe for today. We know when we become born again, when we receive Jesus and give our life to him, that we're going to go to heaven. That's future. But today, what about today? What do you need today? There's an old song that says, yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord, knowing that we need you, and Lord, knowing we need right now faith, because Lord, there's things happening right now in the life of your family. There's things happening in the life of believers today. There's unbelievers even here today, Lord, that need to know you. And Lord, I believe you're just such a loving God that you care for us and you have a plan for us. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just begin to speak to every heart in this place. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I've not made that commitment to Jesus, or my commitment has been wishy-washy. I've been playing around, goofing off, and not doing what I know I'm supposed to do in the Lord. But today, I want to go all in with Jesus today and get on track today. Today's my day. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand to me right now. Is there anybody here today that says, amen? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 Any hands? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And maybe today you're here and you say, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. I need right now faith. I need God to do something right now. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. You need God to do. Wow, okay. Many hands, many hands, many hands. Praise you, Father. Okay, I want to do this. Why don't we all stand? Juwan and Amanda are going to sing a song. But as they do, if you raise your hand today and saying, I want to go all in with Jesus. I'm going all in with him today. I want you to come on this side and just come and stand right here. Just come out so we can pray with you. We need to pray with you. And then if you said, I need a miracle today, that you would come and stand on this side, because we want to come into agreement with you today for right now faith for that a miracle. So come on, move out while they sing this song. Come on.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one foundation.
People are here because you're saying you're committing to Jesus. You're going all in today, amen? So I want everybody to pray with me, okay? Let's all say this prayer together. And let's agree with them today in the name of Jesus. All right, everybody repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, come on, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you that he died for me and that he rose again. Jesus,
Jesus,
forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Wash me and cleanse me.
Wash me and cleanse me.
Give me a new start today. I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Give me strength to follow you. Guide my footsteps. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a big clap. Now just turn around. There's somebody there to pray with you. Let them pray for you right now.